You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. Welcome from rainy Israel, where we have finally been blessed with a few good, solid days of downpour. And as you might know, this actually puts us in a good mood. So inspired by this sudden positive change in our weather pattern, I decided to teach this week Mizmor Kuf Kaf Vav. For those of you who don't know offhand which Mizmor that is, it's a good old faithful standby, probably one of the most well-known and possibly most well-loved of the Mizmor Tehillim. Right, it's the Shir HaMalot, which we sing every Shabbat, every Chag, before Birkat HaMazon. Now, this is a perfect example of a mizmor, which, because we're so familiar with it, we basically know what it's talking about. We have a pretty good idea of what it's about. But if you take a good look at it, right, it never fails to inspire with the richness of its metaphor and the different ways that it's possible to understand it. There are a few examples in this mizmor of things which actually aren't quite as clear-cut as we think, right? As is often the case with things with which we are very familiar, we usually have a way that we've always understood it, and sometimes we're surprised to find out that there are other ways of understanding it. And there are a few examples of that in our mizmor. We're not going to look at all of them today, although I will mention some of them just briefly in passing. And there's one particular metaphor that I want to concentrate on. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's quickly read through the Mizmor. Shir HaMa'alot b'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion hayinu kechomim. Az yimale sechok pinu ulishonenu rina, az yomru vagoyim. Higdil Hashem la'asot im ela, higdil Hashem la'asot imanu hayinu smechim. Shuv Hashem et shivitenu ka'afikim banegev. Hazorim b'dim'a b'rina yiktzoru. Haloch yelech uvacho nosei meshech hazara, bo yavo v'rina nosei alumotav. Right, this is one of the 15 mizmorim that begin Shir HaMa'alot, with the title Shir HaMa'alot. Perhaps in a future podcast we can do an overview of what exactly that refers to. Today, let's jump right into the Mizmor. B'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion hayinu kechomim. The large majority of commentaries understand this, and I think this is how most people understand what this Mizmor is talking about when you go back to what I mentioned before about, you know, what people usually think about a Mizmor with which they're very familiar. Most of the Mefarshim say that this is talking about Shivat Zion, right, in the sense of the return of the exiles to Zion, right, from Galut. Not everybody says this. We'll touch on possibly a different possible way of understanding what is being returned here. But let's stick with the most popular interpretation right now. When Hashem returns Shivat Zion, right, he returns those who are returning to Zion, right, those who are returning from exile, Hayinu kechomim, right, we were like dreamers. Now, this first pasuk already is a subject of a lot of questions, right? How exactly we are meant to understand it. One question which is discussed is, are we talking about something in the future or something in the past? This comes up a little bit more strongly in pasuk bet. Az yimale schok pinu ulishonenu rina. Some people say that this mizmor is talking about a future redemption, right? That something that it is hoped will happen in the future. You can see this, for example, in the words of the Mitzudat David, right, who says, "Ka'asher yashiv Hashem min galut bavel et bnei tzion yomru v'chule v'chule." When Hashem will return Bnei Tzion from Galut Bavel, this and this is what's going to happen, right? So he's talking about it as if it's something in the future. A similar phraseology you see in the Radak, who says, Hold on one moment, we'll find it. He says, the Radak says, Hayinu kechomim, kechalom ya'uf yihye be'einenu tzarat hagalut, merov hasimcha shetihye lanu b'shuvenu la'artzenu. Right? He's explaining what Hayinu kechomim means, right? We'll actually go back to the Radak in a moment on this. But he's saying that it will be like, we will see it as a dream when in the future, right, when we will return to our land, right? So the Radak also sees what is being described in this mizmor as something that's happening in the future. Other Mefarshim see it as Pasuk Alef seems to be saying, right, when Hashem returned in the past, the Golim, the exiles to Tzion, we were like dreamers, right? That's how an easier reading of Pasuk Aleph, because Hayinu kecholmim is in the past tense, right? Then, of course, they have to, these Mefreshim have to explain Pasuk Bet, as Yimalei Tzechok Pinu, right? Then Yimalei, future tense, our mouths will be filled with laughter, right? How do you deal with the future tense? Well, there are some who explain that as, the word as, with the word together with the word with a word in, a verb in the future tense is actually past tense, right? So as yimalei tzechok pinu means then our mouths were filled with laughter. Another famous example of this, of course, an as with a future tense verb would be as yashir Moshe, right? Where in that context it's clear that we're talking about the past, right? So whether or not you understand this is talking about something in the future or something in the past connects somewhat to the other question in the Pasuk. When it says, Hayinu kechomim, we were like dreamers, right? What exactly is that saying? What is the metaphor of being like dreamers trying to say to us here? So for those who are saying that the Ge'ula being described here has already happened in the past, Hayinu kecholmi means we were like dreamers, right? What meaning what? When Hashem brought us back from Galut, it was as if we were in a dream, right? It was so wonderful, it was as if we were dreaming, right? That is the understanding of Hayinu kechomim in that context. For those who are saying that this is something that has not yet happened, what does it mean, Hayinu kechomim, right, in the past tense? Because it's a little more difficult to explain it as I just did, right, that it was, we were like dreamers in the past tense. So there you have, for example, the Perush of the Radak, which I quoted earlier, where he explains, right, when Hashem, I'll quote it to you, Hayinu kechomim, kechalom ya'uf yihye be'einenu tzarat hagalut merov hasimcha shetihye lanu b'shuvenu le'artzenu. When in the future we are returned to our land, it will be as if we had been in a dream, past tense, right? What is the meaning of being in a dream then, right? All of the tzarot of the galut, right? All of the terrible things that we are currently experiencing, not being in our land, which, you know, as we know, when you're going through something terrible, it seems oh so very present and never ending. But once it's gone, right, then it's as if. It's if it was a dream, right? The pain kind of dissipates, and you're able to see it in a much different light, right? So once we are back in our land, all of this will be as if it were a dream. The Dat Mikra commentary offers a very different understanding of this first pasuk, particularly the idea of what is the Shivat Tzion that is being spoken about here. This commentator, the Dat Mikra, says, "Bishuv Hashem et Shivat Zion, b'sha'a shehishiv Hashem et Zion l'shalvata, gedulata v'tovata." Right? What is "Bishuv Hashem et Shivat Zion"? When Hashem will return Zion to its greatness, to its goodness, to its a time of tranquility. Right? How does this commentary understand this pasuk that way? Shuv shivat kemo shuv shivut, mashma hashev et hamatzav hatov lekadmuto, karov lemash nikra b'lashon yamenu shikum. Right? What does it mean? Lashuv shivut. Right? To to return to the way it was, to rehabilitate, right? Something along the lines of Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem, right? When Hashem will bring Tzion back to the wonderful way that it once was, right? Then Hayinu Kechomim. Right? This is a very different commentary or a different understanding of the Pasuk than we generally hear. And I'll return to it later on in the podcast. Right, so that's just a little bit of an introduction to the Mizmor, right? First of all, to get a sense of what the subject of the Mizmor is. Also, to give a taste of the fact that even something that's very familiar to us isn't always as clear as we think, right? There might be things that aren't as understood, or there might be different ways of understanding it than we might have previously thought. What I'd like to concentrate on today, and this goes back to my original weather comment at the beginning of the podcast, is Pasuk Dalet, right? Shuva Hashem et Shivitenu ka'afikim banegev. Right? Return Hashem, our returnees, like the afikim, the waterways, the channels of the Negev. In order to appreciate Pasuk Dalet, one must take a quick course in I don't know if you would say land of Israel appreciation or simply an understanding of what the Negev is like and what exactly an afik in the Negev is. So first we're just going to have a quick understanding of what that means, and then we'll see that even once we understand it, this still opens up a numerous amount of ways of understanding what this metaphor in Pasuk Dalet is, right? Afike Negev, what is Afike Negev? I'm sure that many of you who either live here or have visited Israel are familiar somewhat with the deserts in this part, in our country here. The Negev, right, as its name applies, Negev is from the word for dry, is a very dry place. Most of the year it is very dry. Very little rain falls in the Negev. However, occasionally, right, as often happens in deserts, when there is finally rain, this results in flash floods, right? Sudden downpours, which result in flooding, right? And that's where the afikim come in. The afikim are the water channels in the Negev, right? You also have them in other deserts. You can see them in Midbar Yehuda as well, which are dry. Right, there's no water flowing in them, you know, most of the year. And then during these flash floods, they suddenly fill up with water. Right, and where there was no water once, there is suddenly water. From an understanding of the Afikim, we can then have a number of possibilities as to how to understand what the Mishorer in this Mizmor is trying to say. When he's saying, Shuva Hashem et Shivitenu ka'afikim banegev, return Hashem, our returnees, return the Bnei Tzion from Galut, like the afikim in the desert, what exactly is the Mishorer trying to say? So one possibility can be found in Rashi. Right. Rashi says, "Ka'afikim banegev, ka'afikim ma'im be'eretz yevesha, shemelachlechin ota, kach nihiye martivin b'shuvcha et shivutenu asher hazorim ba be'eretz ya b'dim'a, do'agim shesfurim shema lo titzmach, birina kotzrin al yidei afike ha'maim k'shehem mushulachin ba." Right? Rashi says, "What is the image of the afike ma'im?" Right, that it should be like the afike ma'im in a dry land when they get wet. Right, shemelach lechinota milashon lach. Right, so too we will be made wet. Right, what does he mean by that? Bishuvchat shuvtenu. Right, when you return, the golim, the exiles, right. Asher hazorim ba be'eretz ya b'dim'a do'agim shesfurim shema lo titzmach. Right, those who are trying to plant, right, and this goes into the imagery of the next pasuk, hazorim b'dim'a b'rina yoktzaru, those who plant in a dry land, cry because of worry that nothing is going to grow, b'rina kotzrin al yedei afike ha'mayim k'shehem mishulachin ba. Right, will be reaping the produce in joy because of the afike ma'im when the water comes through, In other words, what is the imagery? He combines Pasuk Dalet and Hay, and he says, right, those who are in Eretz Yisrael, right, are Zorim Bedima, right? They're worrying that nothing is going to grow. But when the water comes through, right, everything is refreshed and suddenly things grow and they can reap in joy. So it seems to me that what Rashi is saying here, right, that this is being said by the people who are already in Eretz Yisrael, right? And their matzav, their situation isn't so clear, right? This, for those of you familiar with the Nevi'im, right? Towards the end of Treasar, Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, right? Those Nevi'im who prophesied during the time of the beginning of Bayit Sheni, right? They describe a situation where some of the Bnei Gola had returned to Tzion, some of those who had been in Bavel had returned to Tzion, right? But the situation in Eretz Yisrael was still not so good, and they began to doubt their situation. Perhaps they shouldn't have returned. Perhaps this wasn't the right time. Maybe Hashem is not with them, right? These are the themes that are found throughout those books at the end of Treasar, at the beginning of, again, the period of Shivat Tzion. And those Nevi'im try to calm the people, explain to them, no, this is the right time, right? And things are going to improve, right? And this is something of the image that I see here in Rashi, right? Some of the people are back in Tzion, and they are planting, right? And they are hoping things will grow, but they are worried, right? And therefore they cry. And the image, according to Rashi in this Mizmor, is Hashem, if you send back the rest of those who are still in Galut, then it will be like the Afike Maim, the water that suddenly rushes through and refreshes, right? Brings life, helps renew what we already have here. A similar perush you see in the Radak. Radak says, one more moment, we're again looking for the Radak. The Radak says, Ka'afikim ba'negev, negev eretz yivisha. And then he quotes a pasuk from Yehoshua to prove this. V'hitz me'al ha'mayim, v'im ya'avru ba afike mayim, yiyu chidush gadol v'tova gedola. Right? If the water comes through, then there will be a great renewal. Right? It'll be a good thing. Ken tiyeh tshuvat galutenu v'tshuvat Yisrael. Right? This will be a good thing. Now, it seems, though, contrary to how I explained Rashi earlier, and perhaps Rashi meant this as well, although that's not how I understood the Rashi, that he's not seeing it as people who are already in Eretz Yisrael being renewed by the return of more people to Eretz Yisrael, but rather he concludes later on, Dima hagalut la negev v'hayushua la afikim, right? That the negev here is the dried up situation of Am Yisrael begalut. And the Yeshua, right, the bringing back of Am Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael is like the Afikim. That is the return, right, is like the Afikim, which brings renewal to Am Yisrael, who before this has been in the Galut. Right, so that's one way of understanding this metaphor of Shuv Hashem et Shivitenu Ka'afikim Banegev, Afikim Banegev, that which brings renewal to Am Yisrael. Right, capability for new growth, both literally and figuratively, both the Mashal and the Nimshal. Right, that's one understanding. A different possibility can be seen, for example, right, there are other places as well, in the Ibn Ezra. Right, Ibn Ezra says, Ka'afikim, kemayim chazakim banegev. Right, the important aspect of the Afikim, according to the Ibn Ezra, is not, as we saw earlier, the fact that it helps renew growth and life in the Negev, but rather that the water that comes through the Afikim is very, very strong, right? And this is for anyone who has ever seen this, either live or in pictures, the Afikim, when the water comes through these channels during a flash flood, it is tremendously strong, right? Where there was no water one moment ago, right? There's suddenly a torrent of water, right? Which has been known to overturn trucks, wipe people out of its path, people have been killed, right? By these Afikim coming through, right? tremendously powerful. By the way, I forgot to mention it earlier, right? For your viewing pleasure, on the site of the podcast on the Web Yeshiva website, right? There are a few links to relevant videos and pictures of Afikim Banegev, right? So either for those of you who would like to see what this actually looks like, or for those of you who are already familiar but perhaps miss a little bit seeing Minofei Haaretz from pictures of Israel, feel free to take a look and enjoy. Right, so this is the second metaphor, right? That when the Mishorer asks Shuva Hashem et Shivitenu ka'afikim v'negev, right, that Hashem should return those from the Galut like the Afikim in the Negev, right? They should come back strong, right? They should be not that they should come back trickling slowly, right, like dripping, like a sweet ma'ayan, but come back like ka'afikim ba'negev, right? And this could have different possibilities of what this means. First of all, it should mean, right, that even after all the years of the galut, right, which was a difficult time for Am Yisrael, they should come back strong. Am Yisrael should be strong and not weak when they come back. And it could also be this strong in the sense of, you know, all at once, a huge torrent of the people should be coming back from Galut. Right? They shouldn't be trickling in few numbers. They should be coming back suddenly, all at once. In my last sentence, I've already led in to the to another emphasis, perhaps, of this image that the Mishorer might have been alluding to. Not only should they come, not only will their coming back bring renewal in life. Not only is there the hope that they will come back strong, right, and in a powerful way, but also that they should come back suddenly, right? Now, I guess it would be okay also if we knew all along and could be confident that they were coming back and it wouldn't be so sudden, meaning it wouldn't be a surprise. And yet, perhaps there is an element in this metaphor of the suddenness of it as well, and that perhaps also goes back to the metaphor of the Negev, right? The Negev, a dried out place. This brings to mind the prophecy of Yechezkel in Perek Lamed Zayin, the famous prophecy of the dry bones, where there too the situation of Am Yisrael in Galut is described as something very, very dry, right? Of course, we're talking about the dry bones, right? There, Yechezkel says, "Vayanicheni b'toch habik'a v'hi milei'a atzamot," right? The valley that Yechezkel sees is full of bones, right? And he walks around, "Vehevirani alehem saviv saviv v'hine rabot me'od al pnei habik'a v'hine yeveshot me'od." They are very, very, very dry. Right? And when the prophecy is being explained a few psukim later, the metaphor of this becomes clear. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayomer Elai Ben Adam, Ha'atzamot Ha'ele Kol Beit Yisrael Hema, Hine Omrim Yavsha Atzmotenu Avda Tikvatenu Nigzarnu Lanu. Right? What are Am Yisrael in Galut Bavel saying? Yavshu Atzmotenu, our bones are dried up, Avda tikvatenu, right? We have no hope. We have lost our hope. Right, of course, the words avda tikvatenu being echoed in the national anthem, od lo avda tikvatenu, right? Our hope is not lost, right? And that exactly is the message of this parak in Yechezkel, this vision of the dry bones, right? Where Yechezkel is told to tell the people, your hope might be dried up. You might think, that's it. We're here forever. We are never going to be redeemed, but it will happen, right? Even if you think it will never happen, if your hope is gone, I'm here to tell you that that's not true, right? And that perhaps is the image of the suddenness of the afikemaim in the dry desert, right? When you're in the desert, when it's dry, when there's no water at all, it seems like this is a place that can never, ever, ever be wet. And then the suddenness of it, right, comes as a surprise. So that even when your hope is all lost, even when it seems that the ge'ula will never happen, it will come, right? It'll be sudden. Right? It'll take you by surprise, but it will happen. An interesting historical footnote at this particular moment where I just mentioned Hatikva might be that our Mizmor, Shir HaMa'alot, was one of the candidates, if ever so briefly, for the national anthem of Medinat Yisrael, right? And I think the reasons for that are clear, right? The appropriateness of this Mizmor to be the national anthem of Israel, even though it actually didn't win the competition. Regarding the suddenness of the coming of the water in the Afikeimaim, I can't help but mention a nevuah in Malachim Bet Perek Gimel, which has an interesting interpretation. Right here, it talks about in pasuk Tet, "Vayelech Melech Yisrael uMelech Yehuda Melech Edom vayasobu derech shivat yamim v'lo hayamayim lamachane v'la behema asher beraglehem." We're talking about a situation where there was no water to be found, and this is in Midbar Edom. Right, a little bit to the east of the area that we're talking about in our Mizmor, but nevertheless similar in terms of the weather. Right, there is no water. And to make a long story short, we'll skip to Pasuk Yud Zayin. Elisha, the Navi, is called upon, and he says, "Ki ko amar Hashem, lo tir'u ruach ve'lo tir'u geshem, v'hanach alahu yimale mayim, ushtitem atem u'miknechem u'behemtechem." Right? You're not going to see wind, and you're not going to see rain, and yet this nachal, this waterway, this riverbed, is going to fill up with water, and you're going to have enough to drink, you and your animals. And lo and behold, pasukaf vayhi vaboker ka'alot ha-mincha v'hinei mayim rabi miderech Edom v'timalei ha'aretz et ha-mayim. Right? And this is exactly what happens. Suddenly, as if out of nowhere, there is water pouring down the nachal in where they were. Right there. So there, I've heard the explanation here. This fits exactly the matzav of the Afikei Negev that we've been explaining today. Right. That what happens? That the water comes suddenly. Like, how did the Afikei Negev work, so to speak? Right. The rain falls down, and they get, and it accumulates in these sort of pools toward at the tops of the mountains in the Negev. And slowly the water channels down the sides, right, until it comes rushing out of the water channels. But sometimes what could happen is that you have rain far away, right? You have it in a different area, distant from where the Afikim are, right? And slowly, slowly they make their way down through the water channels until they come out in a powerful torrent, but far away from where the Geshem is. So you can have a situation exactly like the Matzav of this, the situation described by this prophecy, where you're not going to see the wind and you're not going to see the rain, and yet you're going to have this flood of water because it rained a few kilometers down that way. But the water finally came rushing out over where they were, where there wasn't actually any rainfall. Right. So this, once again, it shows the suddenness that these afikeimayim, with which the afikeimayim sometimes present the water. Right. That there, not only is it sudden because it comes rushing out all of a sudden when it starts to rain, but sometimes you don't even see the rain, and yet the water comes rushing out. Right. And then, of course, it's even a bigger surprise. One last interpretation. Follows from the description of how the Afikeimayim work, which I just gave a moment ago, right? Where you have the pools of water somewhere at the hilltops, the mountaintops of the Negev, which gradually make their way down the mountain, filling up the Afikim with water. What happens is, right, that you have from the mountaintops, you have small channels of water, and as the water makes its way down from the mountaintops, the channels get larger and they join together so that the water from smaller channels join together to bigger channels, and this continues to get bigger and bigger until finally at the bottom the water comes rushing out in a large, tremendously powerful rush of water. And that is the final image that perhaps the Mishorer here pointing to when he uses this metaphor, right? That when he prays for the exiles to come back to Eretz Yisrael, right? He has in his mind the image of the Afikeimayim, right? Where you have from all the places of the Galut, right? From all the various places that they might be dispersed, people trickling in from the Galut, but gradually, right? Those little trickles come joined together, right? a very nice image of kibbutz galiot. They come join together until they create one large rush of water. I think that these different possibilities of how you understand this one pasuk dalet, right, shuv Hashem et shivitenu kafikim b'negev, shows the richness of the metaphor. And of course, as perhaps you've thought on your own, they certainly could all fit in together, right? It's possible that the Mishnah had all of these things in mind, and that makes, of course, the metaphor even richer, right, than if it's just according to one of the possible explanations that we've given here today. The Shi'or today will be a little bit of... create a little bit of a temptation for those of you who are not here with us to come for a visit, be it short or permanent. And in the meantime, I wish you all the Shabbat Shalom. U'mevarach.